One of the worst hit towns in the northeast of Japan is Sendai. Some of the most dramatic footage of that tsunami smashing Japan's coastline was near this city. Fairfax journalist John Garno is at an army barracks in Sendai, and I spoke to him just a short time ago.
The city itself is, it's a large place. It's got about 1 million people, and there's no electricity, there's no running water, barely any shops open, and the ones that are running on backup power in the CBD with huge lines out the front of them. The shops that I managed to get into have all been stripped of anything nutritious or worthwhile eating or drinking, except for the alcohol and the cigarettes. And then I went down to the port area, and you know that it's all been devastated. A 10-meter wave, and it's not really a wave; it's more like a surge, flattened everything that was standing down near the ports, including at about 5,000 homes. Hundreds and hundreds of very major factories, car factories, beer factories, anything barely recognisable down there. Total disaster scene.
So all those homes and factories wiped out. Where are the people?
Look, I actually don't have enough information I don't actually know. Like, was I walking on an absolute graveyard? I suspect I probably was. I know that if anybody does their tsunami early warning systems well, it's the Japanese. I think lots of people had time to get out of their homes and get to higher ground. I'm sure they all couldn't have. Well, I know that I talked to some rescuers yesterday, and they said they had found some bodies, but they barely started searching.
And rescue teams are in there. How many rescue workers? Is it difficult to get into a place like Sendai?
Had to fly to the other side of the island, of Honshu Island, caught a taxi for about 400 kilometres and then caught a bus and then did the last little bit on bicycle. So I think the answer to your question is yes, it's not easy. Most of the roads are cut down here by water or debris. So bike actually turned out to be the best way to get around. And there are rescue teams. Excavators are starting to clear some roads. There's, police guys. Well, I'm staying at an army barracks, and teams from this army barracks are going out in waves and rescue teams. So it's all working, but the scale of what they're up against is just too much.
And just up, not far up the coast from you, is a town that people are very concerned about, a town called Minamisanriku, where nothing seems to survive the deluge, that surge of water beyond the hospital. There are fears for 10,000 people there. Is that still a fear? Has there been any accounting for people in that town?
Look, your probably news sources are probably better than mine, Fran, given my patchy mobile reception, but last time I knew, the town had been, I've seen the photos, the town has been absolutely obliterated, where a tidal surge was funneled to become even more intense and forceful into that bay and wiped out the entire town, washed it out to sea or covered it in silt and debris. I'd be amazed if more than half of the population were able to survive and get to higher ground. Getting there is really difficult. I'm staying at an army barracks, and the guys here say the only access is by sea, and they're using US military boats to do that. Now, I haven't had that confirmed, but I do know that all the access roads are completely cut.
John, seismologists are warning of aftershocks, big aftershocks still ahead, aftershocks more than, 7 points on the Richter scale. What kind of aftershocks have you been experiencing there?
Yeah, look, it's a pretty uneasy feeling. Every couple of hours, the ground will start wobbling and things will start shaking, and people take it in their stride because, it's been happening for 3 days. But I certainly wouldn't want to have that feeling if I'd gone through this myself.
And is there anything left standing in Sendai where you are to then fall in further shocks?
Look, one of the remarkable things is how tough the buildings are around here. I mean, Japanese really do build earthquake-proof buildings. So the earthquake didn't topple much. It was left standing to be obliterated by the tidal wave. Sendai itself, the CBD, is on higher ground, so all the structures are fine. It's really the suburbs and all the industrial facilities down near the port which have been smashed. And I'm just looking now. It's dawn, but I can still see the huge red glow of one of the oil storage facilities, which is on fire. All the oil was washed kilometres upstream, spreading fire as well. The whole kind of area is covered in oil. But Sendai Town itself, if you're on higher ground, you just, you know, you're fine, except you're probably a little bit hungry and thirsty.
And have you been speaking to locals? Have you found some locals who have been able to recount to you about the early warning system or what they found or what their fears are?
Yes, some. Look, I've got to confess I struggle for language skills here. But there are people who say, well, they all say that they've got the refuges to stay in. They've got food and support. You know, it's well, you know, if they look hard enough. But lots of people wandering around completely dazed, confused. You know, I saw kind of bands of refugees still kind of making their way up the road as late as yesterday. So I think people are still. Lots of people have no idea where their families are, where their parents are, coming back to collect photos, but, you know, haven't heard from people that are, you know, that they love and were near them. So lots of confusion and lack of information making everything a bit harder.
Absolutely. And what about with those aftershocks? Are people frightened and their warnings of more tsunamis to come?
Look, yesterday there was a lot of action down at the port where I was sitting down to actually take some notes, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, you've got to go, there's a tsunami coming now. So I don't know. Look, I didn't stay around to check, but certainly people are taking those warnings seriously. And the nuclear reactors are between here and Tokyo. They're further south. But I must say that people here in Sendai have what they think are more immediate concerns on their minds.
More immediate concerns of where are their families, where are they going to get food from, where are they going to get power and water.
And where can they sleep, you know, finding blankets.
John Garnaut, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Fairfax correspondent John Garnaut joining us from Sendai. It's 10 minutes to 8.